It's here and now. You may have heard about the New Jersey high school senior who's suing her parents over payment for her education, both her last year of private school and impending college fees. Rachel Canning claims her parents threw her out of the house when she was 18. Her parents say she left on her own, wasn't following their rules. Well, a judge denied her request for high school tuition payments, and will take up the question of college payment in April, but it's raised so many questions. Becky Supiano is a reporter at the Chronicle of Higher Education. And Becky, this one case is very squirrely. The parents say that they have kept her college fund. She says they reallocated it. But let's put that case aside. What are the rules about a parent's responsibility to pay for a child's college education as set by the federal government, which hands out many student loans?
So the premise behind the federal financial aid system is that the primary responsibility for paying for college rests with the student and the student's family, that the government will provide some additional funding when students need it. Colleges and states may also provide money. But philosophically, the idea is that students and families have a financial responsibility for college.
In fact, do we understand the Department of Education has issued some guidelines on this, saying that if a parent refuses to contribute to their child's college education or is even unwilling to fill out the forms, it doesn't change the fact that that child remains considered a dependent of the parents?
Right. This is something there's a lot of confusion around, but the government breaks students into dependent and independent categories, which determines whether their financial aid application is based on their parents' financial information or their own. Those rules are really quite strict, and parents don't have to pay for college. No one can make them do that. Mm-hmm. But if the parent of a dependent student won't fill out the federal application for financial aid, that will result in the student not having access to that government help.
Well, now let's hold up there because that launches a lot of questions. First of all, we're not talking about parents who are unable to pay. There certainly are parents who just can't, don't have the resources. I presume they'd fill out the forms anyway and demonstrate that. But we're talking about parents who, for whatever the reason, have a philosophical difference with their child about college and don't want to get involved with payment. So what does the child do in that case? Because the problem is that if a parent has resources, that counts against the child's ability to get support.
The student could talk to their college about getting an unsubsidized federal loan based on their own situation, but they wouldn't have the ability to get federal grant aid or anything like that.
Because that does, you have to have the parent filled out a form?
You have to fill out the form for that. Mm-hmm. And if a parent won't fill out the form or refuses to pay, that does not make a student independent in the system. There are all these rules based on your age or being a graduate student, being married, supporting dependents, being a military veteran or active duty. They're very specific categories that make a student independent where their own financial resources are what aid is based on. But parents just saying, no, we're not going to pay, or no, we refuse to fill out the form, that doesn't make a student independent.
So even if the parents don't claim the child for tax purposes, or the child is living, they've had a rupture and the child is living independently, that child is still seen as a dependent?
That's right. Tax status of dependency has absolutely nothing to do with dependency for financial aid. Those are two unrelated things. And a student could be completely financially self-sufficient, supporting themselves, and still be considered a dependent student for financial aid purposes in the federal system.
So how does a child become independent? Can you sue for emancipation?
So if a student is an emancipated minor based on a court decision, that is an exception that would make them an independent student.
Sounds very sad. How often does this happen, Becky, where kids are in this situation?
I haven't seen any statistics on that, but certainly people working in financial aid have run into families who don't feel like they should pay anything for college or who have other concerns about filling out the federal application.
We're hearing sometimes parents don't fill out the forms because they don't pay their taxes. They don't want their children to know how much they earn. That's kind of a real emotional nexus for some families. And sometimes parents don't fill out the financial aid forms because they really believe that that will let them off the hook, that if they refuse to contribute, the school will declare the student independent. So let's underscore that. If you don't fill off the forms, that doesn't change your child's status.
That's right. Families refusing to fill out the form for their student or refusing to pay has no bearing on how the student is treated in terms of independent or dependent on their parents.
Yeah. So now let's go to divorce. Who is responsible for a child's college tuition in a divorce?
So in terms of filling out the federal financial aid application, the parent the student lives with the most is responsible for providing his or her information. So if you spend one extra day a year with one of your parents, that is your custodial parent for financial aid. That parent's information is on the form, and if that parent's remarried, that spouse's information is included too. However, there are colleges that also want to know about a non-custodial parent and the financial strength of that person, and they have a supplemental form that collects that information too.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we hear, again, anecdotally, of situations where there is a divorce. A child might be most of the time with one parent, say a mother, but that mother does not have the bigger income. It's the father who does, and that father's income counts on the form. You said the parent that has the most time with the child is the parent whose income counts.
For federal financial aid, that's right. It's the parent that the child lives with more.
But for many colleges, it's the father. And in the case of a divorce, it might be a father who does not want to pay. Again, we come back to a parent who doesn't want to be responsible for college tuition. But that income will still count towards the child's income.
Right. So for the subset of colleges that do this supplemental form and collect information on non-custodial families, that information would be used to evaluate how much money the student has to pay for college. Again, that doesn't mean anyone can make either parent pay anything, but the college is going to base its own financial aid on a different understanding of what the student's family can afford than the government understanding, which is based on the parent the student lives with more often.
Well, and we're reading on some websites that it's a good idea for parents who are going through a divorce to explicitly address the idea of college support as part of the divorce decree.
Sure. I think it makes sense for families to plan paying for college as part of that situation. But it's important to recognize that the federal government has a system for figuring out which parent counts. Some colleges have a different system when it comes to their own money. And an agreement between the parents about who's responsible for paying doesn't have to be honored by the government or the colleges.
Yeah. Do you have a recommendation for where kids and families might go look for more information on this?
Sure. So the federal government actually just recently overhauled their own website, studentaid.gov, and there's actually a section that addresses all of these issues about dependency and how a student can decide if they are dependent and need their parents' information or independent and financial aid's based on their own information.
Great. We'll link people to that at herenow.org. Becky Supiano, reporter with the Chronicle of Higher Education. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And I'm noting listener Sandra Pelletier-Gray has written, it took her a year and a half after moving out to be considered independent of her parents so she could qualify for aid based on her own income. But she adds, parents should remember more support from them means better wages for kids. Your thoughts welcome as well at hereandnow.org.